We all know something about worrying. I heard applause when that woman was bludgeoning her husband with the pillow. Someone must suffer from a snoring spouse over in that section there. So what do you worry about? Is it finances or the economy, your health, your marriage, your relationship with your children? How about your career or conflict with others? Do you worry about the Reds having a successful baseball season? Or are you past that? Maybe you worry about the next time Apollo will go to the moon, and if you could be a part of a trip like that. Well, in the Message on the Mount, Jesus addressed the worries of his day, and they sound strangely similar to our worries in this day. And so I want you to understand today that worry accomplishes nothing, but drawing close to God helps us handle our problems. So we're going to begin reading in Matthew 6, 25. We've been studying in June and July the Sermon on the Mount and found there as Jesus gave this teaching. And so we pick up today in that passage, Matthew 6, 25. I want you to picture an outdoor amphitheater sitting outside on this hillside as Jesus taught and shared this practical message that is the very message we're going to look at today. He said, "So my counsel is, don't worry about things, food, drink, and clothes, for you already have life and a body, and they are far more important than what to eat and wear. Look at the birds." I can picture some birds flying overhead at that moment. They don't worry about what to eat. They don't sow or reap or store up food, for your heavenly Father feeds them, and you are far more valuable to him than they are. Will all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothes? Look at the field lilies. They don't worry about theirs, yet King Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you, O men of little faith? So don't worry at all about having enough food and clothing. Why be like the heathen? For they take pride in all these things and are deeply concerned about them. But your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well that you need them. He will give them to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. I want to share three truths about worry, but before I do, I want you to consider, you weren't born worrying. You had to learn how to worry, and you have to practice to be really good at it. But here's the good news. The good news is that if worry is a learned behavior, then it can also be unlearned. And that's the first truth I want you to see. Worries don't occur instinctively. They are a learned response. So worry is this universal subject of concern. Walter Kelly said, "When I don't have anything to worry about, I worry about that." In other words, things are going too smoothly. This can't last. I wonder what crisis is lurking right around the bend. And we can feel anxiety waiting for the other shoe to drop. There's a Peanuts comic strip that shows Linus holding on to his security blanket, and the caption reads, "Only a yard of flannel stands between me and a nervous breakdown." Ever feel that way? The problem with worry is that it exaggerates your problems, making mountains out of molehills. It just makes problems seem bigger and bigger. And the more you review something when you're worried, then the bigger it gets. There's a Swedish proverb that is tweetable. It says, worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. And that's true. What does worry do? Well, listen to the words of Ian McLaren. This is what he said describing worry. It does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it does empty today of its strength. It does not make you escape the evil. It makes you unfit to cope with it when it comes. He goes on, God gives us the power to bear all the sorrows of his making, but he does not guarantee to give us strength to bear the burdens of our own making, such as worry induces. End quote. Worry is fear masquerading. And fear is the antithesis of faith. It misdirects our focus from the opportunities to the obstacles. And simply put, obstacles are those things you see when you take your eyes off the goal. Jesus appeared to his apostles late one night on the Sea of Galilee. He invited Simon Peter to get out of the boat and walk toward him on the surface of the water. And Peter took that giant step of faith and was doing fine until he began to concentrate on the waves crashing around him, of the lightning jagging in the distance, of the wind as it howled. And at that moment, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, and when he did, immediately he began to sink. And it's no different with us. When we allow fear to move in, worry soon takes up residence. We have some friends in another state who are going through the biggest challenge of their lives, truly a parent's nightmare. They are in the eye of the storm. And this week, the wife posted this on Instagram. She wrote, "Fear not tomorrow, God is already there." Ken Anderson says, "Modern medical research has proved that worry breaks down resistance to disease. More than that, it diseases the nervous system, and particularly that of the digestive organs and of the heart." See, when you worry, it causes you to get ulcers, backaches, headaches, insomnia, and digestive troubles. Worry is bad for you. The humorist and author Irma Bombeck revealed, "I've always worried a lot, and frankly, I'm good at it. I worry about introducing people and going blank when I get to my mother. What's her name? I worry about getting into the Guinness Book of World Records with the distinction of the pregnancy category and being listed as the oldest recorded to give birth. I worry about that," she said. "I worry that one of my children will marry an Eskimo who will set me adrift on an iceberg when I can no longer feed myself." She said, "I worry what the dog thinks when he sees me coming out of the shower." She said, I worry about scientists discovering someday that lettuce has been fattening all along." So do you worry that you worry too much? God's provision does not mean an exemption from difficulty. This world isn't heaven. And Christians aren't told to blindly deny problems or pain with a false Pollyanna practice. We're commanded to manage our concerns in a healthier way that doesn't settle into fixating on our struggles. The reality is that people die. Couples get divorced. Kids have accidents and sometimes die. People lose their jobs. Stocks plunge, companies go bankrupt, and some people suggest the best way to overcome worry is just to put it out of your mind, and that's denial. But a better way for overcoming worry begins with facing the reality, realizing that what Jesus said 2,000 years ago was true then and is still true today. He said, in this world, you will have troubles, but don't despair. I have overcome the world. What that promise means for us is clearly, I will have trouble in this life, but God will enable me to see it through to victory. This too will pass. God wins in the end, and I am an overcomer. And worry is a learned response that we can unlearn. We can retrain our minds to reduce the frequency of worry's visits and to prevent worry from taking up permanent residence in our lives. That's the first truth I want you to see. The second truth about worry is that worries don't achieve productively. They don't do any good. Stressing out is futile. Hand-wringing is counterproductive. Worry doesn't accomplish anything. We don't realize it or intend it that way, but our worry is really an insult to God. It's a slap in his face. Our worries reveal a lack of trust in his ability to provide. I want us to look at several passages in the Psalms and read how the psalmist wrote these songs of worship that are encouragements to us to find peace in our lives. We're familiar with Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, he shall provide. If God is your shepherd, the Bible says he will provide for you. And then forward to Psalm 46, verse 1. It tells us, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. It's saying that God is a help in trouble, but in worry, you're on your own. In this life, God protects us through the wisdom of his word, through the guidance of his Holy Spirit, through the provision of godly parents and the accountability of godly friends. He has provided for us through his son. I want you to refer to another psalm, Psalm 56, verse 3. It says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. And then back to Psalm chapter 4:8 says, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Are you tossing and turning? Having trouble falling asleep, your mind won't slow down, gear back, and it's just racing with fear and worry. You get up in the night and you can't get back to sleep. This is a verse saying, I'm going to hand those things over to the Lord and be able to sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And that brings us to the third truth about worry. Worries are overcome prayerfully. They are controlled with God and his help. Do you remember when Paul wrote the Philippian letter? Do you think about the context of that writing? He was chained in a Roman prison awaiting his execution when he comes off with these upbeat words in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul says, you know, I'm here in prison, and on the other side of that cell door is my impending execution. It's coming any day now. It's settled. But you know what? Rather than dwell on this, I've been able to give these concerns over to God in prayer. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, it's beyond our comprehension, It's settled over me. It's guarding my heart and my mind. And right now, I'm not overcome with fear, even with what I'm facing. Do not be anxious about anything. Paul says that if you want to reduce stress in your life, then worry about nothing. That's easier said than done, isn't it? As a matter of fact, Smithsonian Magazine says, we are living in the age of anxiety. The word anxious literally means to be pulled in different directions. Warren Wiersbe writes, our hopes pull us in one direction. Our fears pull us in the opposite direction, and we are pulled apart. Worry is not only bad for you, for your health, for you spiritually, but it is a sin. You can hold on to your worries, but how's that working for you? Or you can give them to God. In other words, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Everything. Don't just pray about religious things. Pray about everything. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. God's ability is greater than your anxiety. Pray about all the stuff you usually worry about. Just talk to God. He wants to have a conversation with you. He wants your friendship. He wants your relationship. You know, you say you don't have time to pray. Well, do you have time to worry? If we prayed about all the things we worry about, we would have an awfully lot less about which to worry. Worry doesn't change anything. Prayer does. Worry is stewing without doing. But prayer gets in touch with God, who can change our circumstances. Really, there are only two options before us. Whenever I'm worried, I can either panic or I can pray. Michael Sudant tells of a time he was traveling through a rural area of southern Nevada. He stopped at a cafe for breakfast and ordered eggs over easy. When the waitress, who looked as though she had weathered more than a few desert storms, delivered them, he was displeased to find that the yolks were cooked completely solid. He said, excuse me, ma'am, but I ordered eggs over easy. And she said, honey, that's about as easy as things get around here. Do you ever feel that way? Like you ordered life over easy or sunny side up, but more often than not, you get hard-boiled. According to the American Institute of Stress, stress-related illnesses cost the American economy $100 billion annually. And maybe it's no surprise that 4 out of 5 Americans report a need to reduce stress in their lives. And it's probably not a surprise that spending for mental health is escalating more rapidly than all other health categories. Do you think that God wants his children living like that? Of course not. On January 5th, 1999, the Food and Drug Administration approved the first antidepressant for dogs. The drug is called Clomicalm and cost about $1 per pill. That causes me stress just to think about it. Even our dogs are worriers. What do you have that's causing worry in your life today? Or more importantly, how do you respond to what worries are in your life today? I like to joke about the guy who is checking in some bags at the airport. And he was very indignant with the employee handling the baggage. And for several minutes, this traveler berated the young man and criticized his every move. And surprisingly, the curbside porter didn't seem troubled by this man's verbal abuse. After the angry man entered the airport, another traveler approached the luggage handler and asked, How do you put up with such injustice? The young man said, oh, it's no big deal. That guy's going to New York, but I'm sending his bags to Rio de Janeiro. And that's one way of dealing with stress, getting even. Everyone deals with worry differently. Do you withdraw? Do you become cranky and irritable, gruff? Do you have a short fuse? Do you blow up and lose your temper on those around you? Or do you take off and sulk in silence, pout, and throw yourself a pity party? Some get headaches. Maybe your back goes out on you as that stress settles internally. Some eat to relieve stress. None of those remedies successfully take worry away, and none of those is how God wants you to deal with worry. Let me give you a definition of worry. Worry is assuming responsibility that God never intended for me to have. We somehow think if we just worry about it, we can control it. And Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do you believe that? Yes, each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus said it. Our experience bears that out. So what is Jesus trying to teach us? He's teaching you and me to live one day at a time. In other words, don't open your umbrella until it rains. And Peter Marshall, the late chaplain of the United States Senate, once opened the Senate with this prayer. Help us to do our very best this day and be content with today's troubles so that we shall not borrow the troubles of tomorrow. Save us from the sin of worrying, lest ulcers be the badge of our lack of faith. Okay, don't worry about anything. Jesus said it. Paul said it. We know what kind of damage it can do to us physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, but how can we stop it? Well, Paul is wise enough to know that you cannot get rid of a bad habit without replacing it with a good habit. And so here is the best antidote for overcoming worry. Replace the human hand-wringing of worry with the divine power deployed through prayer. Dr. Howard Hendricks, a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, invited a friend over for dinner. And before they ate, Hendricks asked his 4-year-old son if he would pray. The young boy prayed, "Dear God, bless this food, and please take care of the fence in the backyard." And Hendricks' friend was chuckling about that. Take care of the fence in the backyard? Hendricks said, you don't understand. On the other side of the fence is the biggest, meanest dog in the neighborhood. And every day, my son prays for the fence in the backyard. Do you think God is interested in the fences in your life? He is. And Paul says, pray about everything. Spiritual matters, physical matters, emotional, big, small, everything. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. So what have we learned today? Let's review. Worry is a learned response that we can overcome. Worry doesn't accomplish anything. So give your worries to God in prayer. The insight is that no problem is too big for God's power or too small for His concern. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. The Phillips translation puts it this way: you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. I love those last six words: for you are his personal concern. That means the God who detailed voice prints, snowflakes, and fingerprints to be different is interested in details, all the details of your life. So don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Would you pray with me? Our Father, forgive us for the times when we have held on to concerns that we should hand over to you. Lord, free us from the worries in our lives that can choke out our joy. Lord, I pray that today we leave with a clear understanding of how to trust you more and how you want to partner with us through life's difficult encounters. We pray in the name of your Son who gave this message on the Mount. Amen. Would you stand right now? And probably the biggest worry that any person has is, what's going to happen to me after I die? Where will I spend eternity? Will I spend that in heaven with the Lord, or will I spend that in hell and receive punishment with Satan? And we can help settle that matter for you so that it's not a worry. So today, if you need to speak to one of our next steps volunteers, they'd love to listen, hear about the worries that you're encountering, pray for you, and ultimately help you be ready so that you have a worry-free eternity. Will you come to the front as we sing right now?